Thanks for being a part of it, allowing it to be a part of you. I'm Freddie Coleman. He's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons on Freddie and Fitzsimmons, presented by Progressive Insurance on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. Anytime a guest stops by to hang out with us, they're here thanks to Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We got another slate of four games happening in the NCAA tournament the first day. We'll get to those updates of those games coming in a matter of minutes. But it's time to do a little either or. We never are on the fence when it comes to this. We have to pick one or the other. We may agree, we may disagree, but we're going to choose one. So Shannon Penn, our producer, has the floor. Let's do either or right now on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Hoo-ha.
I know. Got you all in check.
All right, Jonathan, we're going to start with the NCAA tournament. Duke or UNC to win it all? Who has a better shot?
I believe it is Duke because, as Roy Williams said, well, they got the big guy out there now. That makes a difference. So the big guy being Zion Williamson, who is the best player in this NCAA tournament. So it's on my bracket, so I'm not going against my bracket. It's in pieces now because I tore it up in the last segment. But I do remember I had Duke, and so I'm going to go with Zion in that regard.
I'm going to go to North Carolina because I'm a Zion Williamson fan. I'm with you. His impact is you can't even measure what he's been able to make Duke look like, where they went from a team that could have lost in the first weekend without him to a team that could cut down the nets when it's all said and done with him. I still worry about that outside shooting. I still worry about that free throw shooting. What if they run into a zone that they can't figure out, that Zion, even for all his turns of taking leaps in single bounds and jumping over all the skyscrapers of expectations in front of him, what if he's able to do that but does not get any help? North Carolina, to me, is the number one seed, is still a sleeper. I don't think people realize how good this basketball team is. I think they're more likely to win it all because I have less questions about them than I have about Duke, even though Zion Williamson is that terrific.
Hey, Freddie, I'm glad we're talking number one seeds because on the other side, Gonzaga or UVA as a number one seed, most likely to lose first, Freddie.
I don't want to go against Virginia, but I'm going to have to because there's a team in that bracket that still worries me called Villanova. I know they're not the team that they had last year losing four first-round picks, but they got George Clooney, a.k.a. Jay Wright, on the sidelines, and that man can dial up a game plan on a short amount of notice with his Villanova basketball team. They have experience. If they wind up getting to the regional final and Virginia's there, they should be scared if you're Virginia. If Tennessee gets to a regional final and Virginia's there, Virginia should be scared. I don't think people realize how good Gonzaga is. I got Gonzaga potentially getting to the Elite Eight and maybe getting to the Final Four. But Virginia still worries me because of two other teams in that bracket with their experience and their toughness that may be too much for them to handle.
I love watching Virginia play in the regular season because it looks like a well-oiled machine. We've gone through this every year when they go through this very long winning streak. They're able to cut down all the non-conference teams that they play. They get into conference play. They might have a hiccup or two, but usually they're able to come out and look really solid in the regular season. Then we get to tournament time. Uh-oh, it's a different type of deal. I just think it's not in the cards for Virginia again this year. I don't have them going very far in the tournament. And a lot, some of this is coaching, some of this is just personnel. It's so easy for Virginia for sure in the regular season. But when we get to tournament time, I just don't think they're going to be there the way I think they should. I think they're going to run into some problems.
Why do you think it's coaching?
Oh, I think any time that you underachieve, I think you point at coaching first. I think that's all because there's a difference between, for me, the NBA and college basketball. In college basketball, you are teaching and you continue to teach and you try to put players in the right positions. In the NBA, it's one of those things where you say, okay, well, here's a game plan. Tell me what's best. How do you think we should run this? This is what you tell the player as an NBA guy. On the college level, it's really being more hands-on, trying to steer, and I just think that Virginia is going to fall short in that regard again.
He's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. Joining me, Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. Radio and the ESPN app coming up in 10 minutes. How far can Ja Morant take Murray State in the big dance? That's not only 10 minutes away. That's also going to be 20 minutes away after we continue with either or with Shannon Penn as your MC.
All right, Jonathan, this either or is basically a yes or no. Rick Pitino will show up to his son's next game versus Michigan State.
What's on the Greek schedule? Is that where he's coaching in Greece? Is that where Rick Pitino is?
I wonder if he's still there. As a matter of fact, I wonder if he's still there.
Is he still there? I mean, what's the Greece practice schedule? I'm wondering about that.
If does it include baklava? That's what I want to know. In the post-game meal.
If Telly's not there, and if he's not having dinner with the people over there, I think that he will be there. I'm going to say yes, because I don't know what their schedule is.
Okay, whether they have an open date or whatever that is, I can't see Rick Pitino showing up. Because he didn't show up today. today would have been the perfect opportunity to show up if you really wanted to make a statement and make a stink. You got the team on the other side that got rid of you, that you believe you were unjustly fired by Louisville, no matter what kind of scandal and shame you brought to the program on and off the basketball court. And then you had the son of you on the other side. You had your spawn, your seed, coaching against Louisville, and they were able to beat Louisville and give you a little, that's my boy, from dear old dad when it comes to Rick Pitino. He could have been just like Vince McMahon walking into the arena from the WWE. I'm up in this piece. He decided not to do that because he knew that was going to be a distraction. If he didn't do it today, he's not going to do it on Saturday. He's going to stay away. He could be right around the corner, but he's not going to go into that building. He may be watching the game at a diner on the CBS app or listening to it on a Westwood One NCAA radio network. But Rick Pitino, even if he has an open date on his schedule, he is not going to be there when Minnesota has a chance to try to go to Sweet 16 and beat Michigan State.
Maybe he has the Bobby Valentine mustache, though. Maybe he's got that and he's there.
Maybe.
Groucho Mark.
Exactly.
Real talk, the arrogance of Rick Pitino to pretend like nothing really happened and him just being there. Yeah. I mean, that's another factor too. I mean, he tells Dan Patrick, no, I'm done with basketball. He tells Mike Greenberg, I'm done with basketball. And all of a sudden he's back in basketball. Things change. Things might change with Pitino. We'll see. Yeah. I don't know. I expect him to have a very tricky mustache.
Yeah. He is who he is, good and bad, when it comes to Rick Pitino.
Mm-hmm. All right, Freddie. John Morant is the hottest name in college basketball, not named Zion Williamson. So, looking forward to the NBA draft, either R.J. Barrett or John Morant. Who will be the second pick in the draft?
It's going to be John Morant. And that's not me being a prisoner of the moment today, because guys like him that have that rare ability with his length and his ability to handle, he has to improve the jumper. They all had to coming out of college unless you're a pure shooter. But he has less questions about him right now than R.J. Barrett does. Even though R.J. Barrett's a tremendous talent, has the ability to knock down shots and can facilitate, and he has great length as well. But because guys like that in a point guard league, it's just like quarterbacks in the National Football League. You have a chance to take a great one, you don't pass that up unless you already have a great one. There are not a lot of great point guards that will be at the top of this draft. So if he's there, with Zion Williamson gone number one, you'd be a fool not to take him number two. I think he'll be the second pick in the draft.
I will agree with that, and it's not a shot on R.J. Barrett. I expect R.J. Barrett at 6'6", 6'7", to be in this league and last a long time and be a productive player for wherever he falls to. I think that when you look at the rest of the draft, see, here's how I could say that he's number two, Freddie. Because if R.J. Barrett falls three, now is it Cam Reddish? Is it Bruno Fernando? Because you can see where the top two is at the very least, but now it comes down to the combine to find out who's going to shoot up and who's going to shoot down in the draft. So I can solidify one and two. And then you could put Barrett in that top five too. You can maybe look at Cam Reddish, maybe not. But now the rest of it is kind of a roll of the dice in that first round. So I would put Morant there at two.
All right, last and certainly not least for either or.
Uh-oh.
All right, Jonathan, we had Ichiro Suzuki retire today officially. Mm-hmm. So I will ask you, better Seattle Mariner, Ichiro or Ken Griffey Jr.?
Ken Griffey Jr. And I didn't even blink.
How did you ask that question?
No, again, prisoner's a moment. I could give the hot take, be like, Ichiro Suzuki, he was terrific. I mean, I could do that, but I'm not going to because let me tell you something, Shannon. I was such a Ken Griffey Jr. mark. When the hat turned backwards, the sweet swing, and Freddie, you can relate to this when you look at athletes that when they're out on the field or on the playing surface, it looks effortless. When you saw Ken Griffey Jr. in the outfield, it's almost like when he was graceful going to get fly balls, going against the wall. It's almost like he didn't even break a sweat. So I love Ken Griffey Jr. with that. And as a White Sox fan, I was rooting for Ken Griffey Jr. because he was just terrific. So definitely Griffey for me.
Yeah, I'm an Ichiro fan, but co-sign what you just said. It just, baseball just was cooler when Ken Griffey Jr. was a part of the landscape. And that's not to say there was not a cool factor to Ichiro Suzuki. There's a plenty. I love the mysteriousness about Ichiro Suzuki, where he was that guy that came from a faraway land. You didn't know what he was or what he was going to do, and then he did those things. But the minute that Ken Griffey Jr., 19 years of age, made the Major League Baseball roster, plenty of kids in this country, it didn't matter who you were, it didn't matter where you came from, it didn't matter who you liked. one, that's the guy I want to be like. There are plenty of people like me that still wish that Ken Griffey Jr. was still playing Major League Baseball, because there's always a cool factor about Ken Griffey Jr. Definitely over Ichiro Suzuki, and it's a little close, but it's definitely him.
Man, he was great. He was in the same lineup as his dad. How cool is that?
And hit a home run the same day in the game as his dad.
That's crazy.
I mean, that's just bananas what he was able to do. Don't forget to get triple action protection for optimal engine performance. You can do that with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. He is Jonathan Hood, in for Ian Fitzsimmons. Joining me, Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons. This player said that Odell Beckham Jr. was never going to be long for the New York Giants. That's next on ESPN Radio.
I can't believe it.
That Gerald is presenting the quarterly budget report with finger puppets.
Look, here comes a 1.7% decrease in fixed overhead. Hello, everybody.
No, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on my car insurance with Geico.
Who are you? The projected increase in organic Q3 revenue. Hooray!
Believe it. Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Freddie Coleman, Jonathan Hood, in for Ian Fitzsimmons on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Anytime a guest stops by to hang out with us, they hear thanks to the show. Pinto Performance Line. Boy, did Landon Collins spill it about Odell Beckham Jr., no longer a New York Giant, just like Landon Collins, who's no longer a New York Giant. Odell Beckham Jr., now the Cleveland Browns. Landon Collins, now a safety with the Washington Redskins. But boy, did he spill it about Odell Beckham Jr. not being long for the New York Giants. This is a Dave Gettleman decision. And I said it when the trade happened and when they decided not to re-sign Landon Collins, Jonathan. I said, Dave Gettleman does not want raise-the-roof kind of guys. He did the same damn thing with the Carolina Panthers, where he made sure that they were not going to re-sign Steve Smith. Dave Gettleman is a control freak. He is in control of the New York Giants. They have given him the keys to the kingdom. So he wants guys that are going to get along and not have to worry about raising their voices. Something is not on the same page. Gettleman wants soldiers and robots. He doesn't want people to have a mind of their own. So that's why Landon Collins, in my opinion, said that, thinking, oh, yeah, they may have signed that extension, but that was not a Dave Gettleman guy. I'm not a Dave Gettleman guy, and look where we are right now.
Mm-hmm. And then you signed Golden Tate. But anyway,
we're building.
I mean, Golden Tate is like some other, like he's a unicorn. He's like some other person. It's like Golden Tate, and then there's like a different kind of personality with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun, and I like it. But I mean, this is what you get with some wide receivers. Like, I mean, he's doing Show Me the Money. You saw that video, right? He's just like, so he's a great character, Golden Tate. But yet, you don't want raise the roof guys. I remember you saying that because I was with you on that show, and you know what? You're absolutely right. But here's the thing. It's not about the general manager. It shouldn't be about ownership. It's about what's on the field.
Yep.
If there's someone that's productive enough to be able to increase your chances of winning the division and being a perennial playoff team, then you got to get that guy. I'm not saying that you got to get a whole bunch of ne'er-do-wells and criminals and bad guys.
Sure.
What I'm saying is that you've got to be able to find guys that can help you get to the next level. Listen, tomorrow's not promised in the National Football League, right? This is not Major League Baseball where you can continue to just build year after year. We're working towards something, man. You got to win now. It's the NFL. You get the quarterback you want. You get the offense in. You get the right head coach that you want that can speak the same language as the quarterback and keep it moving. The idea that you're moving guys out because they don't match your personality, because you wouldn't golf with them, that makes no sense to me. That's counterproductive.
Dave Gettleman seems to be the kind of guy that knows he lives in the 21st century. That doesn't mean his mindset is going to not be in the 20th century. He was not able to do that with Cam Newton because the ownership said, hey, that's a quality quarterback. We don't care. Find a way to make that work. And Cam Newton went out there and made sure it was going to work. But other guys that aren't like along those lines, that don't mind speaking their mind, you are not going to be a Dave Gettleman dude. It happened in Carolina. It's happened with the New York Giants. We saw it happen at the end in Carolina. That may happen a lot sooner when it comes to Dave Gettleman and his tenure as GM of the New York Giants. He's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. Thanks for joining me and him on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. I'm Freddie Coleman. The NFL Competition Committee, anytime they get together, we always have to have that question, what could possibly go wrong? Because something's going to happen that's going to not ruin your football, but make you think twice about why are they doing that to your football. Well, the instant replay we knew was going to be center stage after what happened. And not only in the NFC Championship game, the pass interference call that was missed in favor of the Rams against the Saints, but also in the AFC Championship game where a personal foul penalty was called against Kansas City Chiefs for roughing the passer, and there was no way that happened. Well, when it comes to the modified expansion of instant replay, the NFL's competition committee has two proposals. The first one would add fouls for pass interference to the list of reviewable plays. The second would include fouls for pass interference, but would add fouls for roughing the passer and unnecessary hits against a defenseless receiver. But here's the most important thing, Jonathan. Neither would allow review of plays in which no fouls were called. That means that what happened in the NFC Championship game and the AFC Championship game would have stood because those calls are not going to be reviewed.
Great.
Exactly. That's what I said.
Great. Great. You have to be more proactive than reactive about what happened in the playoffs last year. You got to be able to get this nipped in the bud, because if you have all of these rules, you got to be able to know what plays could happen. It's again, if you are a football person and you know that you have a set of replays that are that do qualify in a game, Freddie, you have to be able to know what these calls are. This should have been figured out years ago when it comes to replay. And now, because of what happened to the Saints, now you want to be able to change things. You know, this is typical of the National Football League. You know, I tease the Major League Baseball for being behind the times from time to time. But in this situation, now the NFL's competition committee wants to get it right. Okay, there's going to be something else that they probably haven't taking a look at either. So this is nothing for the Saints. That's the thing that's so disappointing.
Here's the deal with the National Football League. They rather not do anything than to be forced to do something they know is right for the game. They would rather have more of a public outcry from people inside the NFL than from people outside the NFL. It shouldn't take any kind of ability or any kind of strength to make sure the right call is going to be made. Mm-hmm. If you got somebody up top and they see that, they can radio down and say, man, you missed it. That was a clear pass interference. And then a guy can look at it, and then the right decision can be made. Period. End of story. Instead, well, we like things the way they are. You know why? Because they make way too much freaking money to worry about people walking away from their sport. Until that happens, it's going to be the same old when it comes to the NFL trying to improve their game or not improving the game at all. Ja Morant has been the story in the first day NCAA tournament glory, but how far can he take Murray State in the big dance? That's next on ESPN Radio. And boy, a lot of people kissing up to Ja Morant after what they saw today in the matchup that Murray State took advantage against Marquette. Freddie Coleman, he's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Anytime a guest stops by to hang out with us, they're here thanks to Shell Pinto Performance Line. Good to talk to Chip Patterson. Does a great job as a CBS Sports college basketball writer. Let's welcome him into the show here on ESPN Radio. Chip, Ja Morant doing his thing. A lot of people talking about him, a lot of buzz about him right now. How deep can he take Murray State in the NCAA tournament?
I think the ceiling is the Sweet 16. I think that's about where I've set it. And that's because the underdogs win the first weekend, but you got to be a big dog to win on the second weekend. And Murray State's great. And, yeah, look, I mean, he's out there with double-digit assists. I mean, he averages double-digit assists. But, you know, the fact that he's spreading the ball around, hooking his teammates up, I think by the time you get into Sweet 16, Elite Eight, that's where some of those other weaknesses are going to get exposed, particularly, I mean, it's not like the bracket has anything that Murray State's going to be licking its chops at. But, yeah, absolutely. I think that they can string one more win out of this.
So, Chip, let's start counting Morant's money before he's even got it. So has he solidified himself as a number two pick in the draft if he was to jump today?
I don't say the word solidified when it comes to the NBA or NFL draft, because I cover college football also, and I remember that there was a time when people were wondering if Baker Mayfield would be a fringe first rounder. Right. And I remember a time when no one thought that Kyler Murray would even go to the NFL. And so, yeah, where Ja Morant ultimately goes, it's hard for me to say, but from what I can tell covering college basketball in terms of the NBA media that are reaching out to me, there's three names that seem to be solidified. It's Zion Williamson, it's Ja Morant, and it's RJ Barrett. And, you know, whether that is Zion, Ja, RJ, or whether it's Zion, RJ, Ja, I think the only things that seems certain is that Zion Williamson is number one, and that you're probably looking at a really big drop off after five, and maybe those top three might be locked in the top three spots. But the order, who knows? I mean, we got a lot of time between now and the NBA draft.
Chip Patterson, CBS Sports college basketball writer with Freddie Coleman and also Jonathan Hood on ESPN Radio's Freddie Fitzsimmons. I want to go back to what you said about the NFL draft and the NBA draft. Which is the hardest to predict for you, the NBA draft or the NFL draft, and why?
The NFL draft, because so much happens during the first round in terms of trades and in terms of one pick can set off a run on a certain position. And basketball, more and more, as we continue to move into the future, is what? Positionless. Mm-hmm. Positionless basketball is kind of changing the way that we analyze draft prospects. One of my favorite things that I've done at CBS was to cover, I think it was the last three NFL drafts at Radio City Music Hall.
Right.
And to be a part of that as a college football writer, I mean, CBS had only called me in basically to, like, sit there next to Mike Freeman and Clark Judge and basically give my, like, college tidbit, you know, just like almost research on the spot type stuff. And that assignment really opened my eyes to the inner workings of the NFL draft and realizing how much of a game it is on that night. The NBA draft, to me, from my observation, is much more of something that's set in stone going into the evening, where, you know, it's not as much of a game once the draft starts. A lot of decisions are already made. Certainly draft calls are being done on draft night, but in the NFL draft, it's way more of a gamble, at least in that terms, like sitting at the craps table. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen three spots ahead of you, and then all of a sudden you've got to adjust after that. And so NFL draft, much more difficult to predict.
Freddie, could you hand me Gene Rayburn's mic over there? I need it for this next question. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Let's play the match game, Chip. So you tell me, fill in the blank. Zion Williamson is the most captivating college basketball player that we've seen since?
Ever. Because we've never had this kind of focus. We've never had a college basketball player who started his college basketball career with 2 million Instagram followers. Ever. I mean, he is a disruptor in the way that Silicon Valley tech companies talk about being a disruptor. We've never seen another prospect like this. We don't know how to handle it. We aren't doing a good job of talking about it. And it will only be later when books are written about this time that we really understand it. And that's why, look, I'm based in Raleigh, North Carolina. This has been in my backyard. Mike Krzyzewski told me in October, he said, look, there aren't a lot of single-name basketball players. Forget college basketball players. And this is before we'd seen Zion Williamson play a game for Duke. He said, you say the word Zion, and it resonates in the same way as a LeBron or a Kyrie or a Steph or a KD. And it's different. And I'm really excited to see what this guy does. And as we've continued to have conversations with Mike Krzyzewski, the thing that I've drawn from him and the things that I've drawn from observing and talking to Zion Williamson is that he is, he's still 6 years from his prime as a basketball player.
Wow.
You know, we are watching a becoming, we are watching an evolution in process. And so for us to try and label all these definitives on a young man who is still very much evolving into the basketball player that he's going to be, putting his stamp on the NBA, now, at this point, guys, especially, you know, I was in Charlotte and I was at the Duke Carolina game in Chapel Hill. I'm here in Columbia. I'm going to watch him and then I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. And I hope Duke wins two games so I get those. and at this point, I'm just buckled in and trying to enjoy it because we are watching a once in a generation talent and I'm trying to soak it in as much as possible without trying to label him with too much pressure and too many comparisons that might not be fair because he could exceed all of them or he might be something totally different. But we are watching the becoming of a superstar.
Great stuff by Chip Patterson. Follow on Twitter, Chip_Patterson, CBS Sports college basketball writer on ESPN Radio's Freddie and Fitzsimmons. He's Jonathan Hood. I'm Freddie Coleman. Which number one seed do you trust the least?
Gonzaga. I think that Duke, North Carolina, and Virginia are all national championship teams, and I am a total hater because I think that Gonzaga can make the Final Four, but I don't think that when it comes time to facing a Duke, North Carolina, or Virginia, I don't trust Gonzaga. And here's the reason why. because in the NCAA tournament, you got to have elite guard play.
Right.
And I think that right now, Gonzaga is Rui Hachimura is amazing. Brandon Clark is an elite defender and a great shot blocker, and he's maybe their best player, but I've not been a big fan of the way that Josh Perkins has played down the stretch. Gonzaga claims to play that positionless basketball we were talking about earlier, but Josh Perkins is kind of their point guard, and Perkins played all right, but they were playing fairly Dickinson. So I'm not really going to, you know, have any judgment that I'm going to change my opinion on that. I did not like the way Perkins played down the stretch. If Gonzaga is going to prove me wrong and be trustworthy and be a Final Four and national championship team, the difference is not going to be Rui Hachimura or Killian Tilly or Brandon Clark. It's going to be Josh Perkins. He's going to be the guy that's going to have to excel if they're going to go all the way.
Chip, what are we looking? I know that, again, we look at Zion Williamson, he casts a really wide shadow, but I'm still looking at North Carolina. Freddie was telling me during one of the breaks, he says, you know, North Carolina is still a very good basketball team, and they're not talked about enough. What do you see from North Carolina here in the tournament?
A national championship team, a point guard in Kobe White, who is as fast as Ty Lawson and as offensively effective as Ty Lawson was in the 2009 title year when he was the ACC player of the year. Cam Johnson as like a stealth assassin of a three-pointer. I just really think that this North Carolina team could end up winning the national championship. I would give them as good odds to win the national championship as Duke.
What's the best place you've eaten in so far in Columbia, South Carolina?
Man, I flew in hot.
Yeah,
flew in. When you're on the Zion beat, you don't get to make a lot of selfish decisions.
Try Liz's Thicket. You won't be sorry. Trust me.
All right. Okay. All right. Cool. Because so CBS Sports HQ is our 24/7 streaming sports news network.
Right.
I've been doing like a bajillion hits per day for CBS Sports HQ. So it's like I'm just letting you know that when you're on the Zion beat, you eat at a lot of hotel restaurants and a lot of arena food and whatever the good people of the NCAA put out at Colonial Life Arena. Yeah.
Right.
This has been my meal so far.
Well, so next time, put it this way. You get a break, Liz's Thicket. You get fine when anyone in Columbia, South Carolina. You won't be sorry, my friend. And try the sweet potatoes. Remember I said so.
All right, I will. Sweet potatoes. I got it noted.
Thanks a lot, Chip. I always appreciate you, my man.
All right, sounds good. Y'all be well.
You too. Chip Patterson, CBS Sports College basketball writer. If you missed what he had to say about Ja Morant getting his team to the Sweet 16 when it comes to Murray State and why he should be the number two pick in the draft, in his opinion, behind Zion Williamson, subscribe to the Freddie and Fitzsimmons podcast. You can do that in the More tab of the ESPN app and wherever you get your podcast. I should have never told him to go to Liz's Thicket because now I'm hungry. I should have never told Chip that, man. I should have known better.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Freddie.
Yeah.
We cannot, as much as you and I in America appreciate Zion Williamson, I can't go forever. I can't go ever with Zion Williamson. Because, yes, we're talking about him in 2019. I get that.
Right.
But when we had this discussion a couple of nights ago, we went through some names, and the name that you gave, one of the names you gave us is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Mm-hmm.
The type of player that Kareem was when he first came out, it did capture a nation. Now, he didn't have 200,000 Instagram followers, but there was a lot of people writing about him and watching him because he had a move that no one could stop.
He is the star, or he was the star coming into this tournament. If Ja Morant gets his team to the Sweet 16, he may have another star to go with him, depending on what Zion Williamson and Duke can do to try to make their run deep into the NCAA tournament. And you should really know the name Tate Martell when it comes to this. Keep it here on ESPN Radio. He's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining us on Freddie and Fitzsimmons, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Give you a quick update on the NCAA tournament game still going on right now. At halftime, Wofford's leading Seton Hall by a count of 40-30. That game, a Midwest Region first-round matchup. Michigan leading Montana at halftime 34-21. That's a first-round matchup in the West Region. Halftime, Baylor leading Syracuse 38-37. That's a first-round West Region matchup. And Purdue leading Old Dominion 23-19, 5:08 to play in the first half. That is a South Region first-round match. We'll keep you updated on those games all night long. You hear Jonathan in the background sniffling. Apparently something is not to your liking with these games so far, my friend.
I'm just saying that Purdue's got them where they want them. The 21-19 with 6 minutes left, that's Purdue's pace right now.
Yes.
So try to keep the score low as possible and try try to eke out a victory against Old Dominion, a very good ODU team, by the way.
Yeah, by the Baylor-Syracuse, really entertaining game. Both these two teams play zone defenses, shooting over the top of that zone. It's been a back-and-forth affair, so keep an eye on that one as Baylor leads it at halftime by a count of 38-37, part of the first day of the NCAA Tournament 2019. And we're going to find out about Ja Morant being put into a Hall of Fame category when it comes to this player. That comes your way in 10 minutes right here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. You may not know the name Tate Martell. You may not want to care about the name Tate Martell, but you really should, because he had happened to him that could really be a windfall for college football players. He plays for the University of Miami. He transferred from the Ohio State University. And on Tuesday, the NCAA approved a waiver to make sure he would be eligible for competition this upcoming season. Why did he leave Ohio State? Here's why. His lawyer said that he apparently transferred from Ohio State because he wanted to play. It wasn't anything else. It wasn't bad food at the cafeteria. It wasn't not worthwhile accommodations in the dorm room. It wasn't somebody sending him a Dear John letter. Tate Martell, Jonathan Hood, wanted to play. He didn't want to stay. He's now at Miami, and now he can play immediately after being ruled eligible by the NCAA getting that waiver.
How ridiculous is this, though, that you got to go through that kind of hoop? He just wanted to play.
Mm-hmm.
So how you know, the archaic rule book, or actually trying to come up with rules on the fly, is so typical of the NCAA. He still has 3 years of eligibility remaining left for him to continue to play, which is a positive.
I'm okay with it, and here's why. Coaches can go back and forth anywhere they want, and they don't have to sit out a year when they go to a new job.
Mm-hmm.
If they go somewhere else and get paid more money, get a better situation, nobody's saying, hey, well, you know, you made a commitment to them. You made a commitment to those kids, so you need to sit out a year and serve your penance. I know plenty of people, old school people, want to say, well, this is going to be bad for the sport. Why would you want someone to be there and hogging up a scholarship when they don't want to be there? And believe me, if a dude's going to jump around and around and around, at a certain point, a coach is not going to touch that guy. They're not going to want to be bothered with that guy. And I hear what Jay Billis, ESPN college basketball analyst, had to say when he was on the Will Cain show on Tuesday, that this is a good thing for any athlete, what Tate Martell is going to do and have happen for him. And the one thing about that, when it comes to coaches, people forget that scholarships are a one-year thing. When you get a scholarship offer, it's not for 4 years, it's not for 3 years. Coaches can take that away from you as they see fit if they believe you're not helping the program anymore or you're not producing in the program anymore. So if coaches are allowed to have that power, if sneaker and apparel companies are allowed to have that power, then why can't a player have his future in his hands and not place in somebody else's hands? I'm not saying that everybody should be like Tate Martell, but that doesn't mean he's wrong from wanting out of a place that he believed he was not going to play, and he wants to make sure he can go somewhere else where he can play.
I get the point, though, because those that have the whistle around their neck are the ones that are in authority. Those are the coaches, and they tell you about loyalty, and they tell you about sticking with it and having that work ethic from day to day and getting better and better every day. But then that same coach will look through the knot hole in the fence and say, oh, there's more money on the other side of the fence, I'll jump. There is a story of a coach, a coach that you know pretty well, as a matter of fact, that was at a dinner, a recruiting dinner. It was with those kids, and he said, I'll gotta take a phone call, I'll be right back, and never left. And he never came back. He never came back. I don't know if those kids were stuck with the bill, but he went to get another job because that call was so important. Instead of taking care of those kids, he left. So I understand that loyalty is it should be a two-way street, right? I mean,
right.
But it just, these coaches can jump. So if a student athlete, quote unquote, wants to be able to go to another program, I totally get it.
And we don't punish coaches when they have a chance to improve their situation.
No.
More likely than not, if a coach, oh man, he had an allegiance to those kids, but hey, that's $2 million per year. I would have done the same thing. There are plenty of us out there that say these things, oh, that's bad, and that's other. But then if the situation is presented in front of you in your job, if you have a chance to go somewhere else and double your salary and improve your benefits and improve your life situation, you're going to tell me, you know, I need to be loyal over here to these people who could fire me any day now. Nobody in their right mind is saying that or even thinking that. So you can't place that on them in college athletics from a coach and a player standpoint. But yet, if the situation happened to you in your position and you love your job, but you have a chance to go to a better job with better benefits and a double the salary, you can't say that, well, that's not good for them, but this is good for me. This
right.
is a different situation. You can't play that fast and loose with that kind of rule just because you want it to work for you.
Shouldn't this be the norm, though, Freddie, when it comes to student athletes that want to be able to go? If you transfer, and you shouldn't have to wait because the Justin Fields
mm-hmm.
left Ohio yes. State, right? Like he left Ohio State after Justin Fields. He transferred from the
University
from the
Buckeyes of Georgia.
To Georgia, right?
Yeah.
So it, I mean, and the NCAA granted Fields his request for immediate eligibility. Mm-hmm. So shouldn't this be the norm? Because instead of having to wait?
All the NCAA has to do is do what is fair and what is in the best interest of the student athletes. I'm sorry. That I don't know what came over me. I can't believe that came out of my mouth that I want the NCAA to do what is in the best interest of the student athletes
yeah.
that make them billions and billions of dollars. I have said too much. I have gone too far from this standpoint, so I'm just going to leave it right alone because we all know that is never, ever going to happen. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, comparing rates to help you save. Call or click today and find out how much Progressive could save you. He is Jonathan Hood. I am Freddie Coleman. I'll put Ja Morant in the Steph Curry category, and I'll do it in this way. Keep it here on Freddie and Fitzsimmons.